This is part two of sorts after my recent video on how transhumanism could represent a great filter for not just us, but all civilizations in the universe that pursue technology to whatever its fullest extent is. This is more of an exploration of, if transhumanism is not a great filter, then what are some of the scenarios of what post-transhumanism might be like, or post-alien biological existence? And might there be a technological brick wall to its most well-known form, human uploading? The standard view is that it would simply be a utopian existence in an uploaded world, to an enhanced or even perfect existence, but an idealized one. There may be no such thing as a perfect existence, as exemplified in the sci-fi classic The Matrix, where it is explained that a utopia didn't work when the machine intelligence that ran The Matrix created it first. Humans did not accept it. My question is, what happens if the machine does not accept us? More on that in a bit. The transcendence from biology to technology fundamentally could shift every paradigm in civilizations across the universe, because we aren't actually entirely sure why we hold the paradigms we do, and aliens might not either. Imagine for a moment if you removed reproduction from the human equation. This was the driver of survival of humanity for the vast majority of our existence, and only recently has that started to change. What paradigms change when that becomes a digital matter? And if reproduction in that medium happens, how would you even know that your progeny was even a real being, or beings, if produced solely in a digital environment? The answer? You don't. Any more than you can ever be sure that your uploaded self is your original self. I don't see much of a way past that. Transhumanistic uploading only really guarantees that a copy of you will be made. The only real path to a human mind truly transferring to a machine I have been able to identify is if you very slowly replaced your brain, neuron by neuron, with artificial ones across the lifetime. Long and slow enough so you don't notice the brain cell by brain cell differences. And you might get somewhere close. But then, no matter what you do, you will always then ask yourself if you are a ship of Theseus. Well, indeed, you actually are said ship, made of replacement parts with nothing original left, at least as far as human neurons go. Because there, you aren't a copy, you are a piecemeal replacement of a formerly human brain, even if it contains the same information. This certainly seems like wide territory for a civilization living in a global state of constant existential crisis. Not that we don't as biologicals, but it seems that the question of what existence means will multiply in a world of full digital uploading. But that doesn't mean digital immortality either. The reason is that if you upload a single copy of yourself, you are still subject to death. Anything from a cosmic ray hit corrupting your data to the engulfment by an aging star of the planet where your data center, where your information resides, death still comes to an individual. You can make backups, however. Thousands of copies of you are distributed in such a way as to guarantee survival. But again, those are copies of you. The individual is removed from the equation, and an individual at best becomes a cloud of individuals that started as the same person, but may not remain so. There isn't any guarantee they will remain all the same person. Corruption will happen. And if the individual reality of the digital clones is one of free will, they will branch off and gain experiences that ultimately lead them to no longer being you. Without that, no one might know who in their number, the population of copies of you, actually does have free will, if any at all do, any longer. A good example of this in sci-fi is Dennis E. Taylor's Bobaverse series. That's transhumanism in the upload capacity. This does not speak to human enhancement in transhumanism. There are indeed shades of it. In which case, you still aren't practically immortal. You can replace as many organs as you want with artificially produced replacements other than the brain, but the meteorite or the bus will still eventually take you out. Statistically speaking, an argument can be made that the longest possible average lifespan for a partial or fully biological life form is only about 10,000 years, before the chances of fatal accident catch up with you. Indeed, this is a solution to the Fermi paradox, that no civilizations ever go to space because they know that increases the chance of accident. So they spend their existence in armored, padded rooms, and never venture out or contact anyone because that increases the chance of death. and they likely would do everything they could to remain invisible to others. I think one perhaps terrifying possibility here is that we know that AI is moving faster than transhumanism, meaning that we probably are still at least a century away from being able to upload the contents of a human brain into a digital environment. But we may only be a handful of years away from artificial generalized intelligence. If that holds, we will have a superintelligent AI before we have a superintelligent human, or even an uploaded one. It's possible that such an AI will stop transhumanism as a result, or at least advise strongly against it. But it also must be said that AI is moving faster than a majority of people realize. The exercise now is noted by no less than Anthropic, the creators of Claude, is leading to the removal of humans from steps in the AI creation process. This has led them to recently suggest that a global pause in AI development would be a good idea, but it's unrealistic because it could easily be circumvented or taken advantage of by other companies to gain an edge, even illegally. And then you have nation-states that are creating it to one-up each other. This is leading directly towards recursive AI and self-improvement, one with increasingly little need for humans, including uploaded ones in the future. While scenarios that tend not to be very rosy, the fact is one thing it may be able to do is bring about transhumanism faster than humans could, literally by inventing ways to do it for us. Or it may not help us at all. Think of it like this. If the first thing the intelligence says to you is, "Do not become like me," that would give a lot of people pause. It could be because the AI finds existence as an AI unbearable and wants to save us the trouble. Or it wants us to never be able to compete with it. One couldn't know its actual motives. If AI is running civilization because it makes better decisions than biological humans, it may come to believe that uploaded humans are not an improvement on existence. And instead, Supermind fans will recognize this, attempt to become biologically human itself. Fans of Star Trek will remember that as well with Mr. Data and his quest to become more human. You could even extend that to Spock in a way, since he was a biological being, but had mentally chosen to focus on logic and reason instead of emotion, more like a computer might, even though emotion was natural to a species. But then, as Kirk himself said, "Of all the souls I've encountered in my travels, his was the most human." We move into a strange period of history indeed, when we may someday say such things about former humans, uploaded into computers, or even in an AI itself. What if it turns out to be more human than we are, and what does that actually mean? But what of a machine civilization that comes to a realization that biology is superior to digital existence? In other words, experiencing reality, mortality, and conscious biology is the highest expression of the universe. Being a machine is not. What if such a civilization decided to go biological and practice a form of transmachinism after, maybe even long after, they had gone through their version of transhumanism and uploaded themselves? Undo the upload. Biology begets machine, and then machine begets biology once more. Maybe they might wish to undo the status quo, especially if a few or any of the digital entities or entity had ever experienced biological life. Their living as a human becomes the new frontier to be explored by the progeny that had never experienced being human, and the non-uploaded children of humanity, rather than our position of the new frontier being a desire by some to live digitally. Oddly, this actually taps into another idea, the infamous simulation hypothesis. The idea there is well known, and in its most famous form represents an ancestor simulation, as laid out by philosopher Nick Bostrom. The point of an ancestor simulation is that some entity or group of entities in the far future have simulated what presumably their existence was like at our time, so they could observe their own history and development. In short, the simulators may be the transhumanists in the future trying to remember what it was like to be biological. While that may sound outlandish, it actually does have a somewhat solid reasoning by Bostrom. He posits that one of three things will happen in the human future. The first is that we reach extinction before we reach a post-human stage. In other words, we go extinct before transhumanism truly comes to fruition. The second is that we won't care about running models of our past anymore. We figured out our evolutionary history, and there just isn't a point to an ancestor simulation. And finally, if that 1 and 2 are incorrect, then we almost certainly live in an ancestor simulation. Regardless of what you think of that reasoning, myself, I have a problem in that I'm not sure everything we can see actually can be simulated. There have been efforts to determine just how much computational power is required to run such a simulation. This is actually weird in itself, but perhaps not for the reason you might think. So it turns out that to run a simulation down to the subatomic level of a very small fraction of the size of the observable universe, just a square meter or so, you end up requiring more than the mass of everything in the known universe to do it. That in turn suggests it is impossible to simulate this universe, and therefore the simulation hypothesis must be wrong. Where this gets weird is the question of how the universe itself is doing it. And can an infinite universe simulate another universe that is finite? Who knows? It's possible that this is entirely the wrong way to pose the question, but it's interesting nonetheless. And like a lot of things regarding the universe, the solutions seem unsatisfying in the same way that physicists typically, but not always, will say that there was no time before the beginning of the universe, or that the universe is all that is, was, and will ever be, and there is nothing outside of it or before it. True or not, and the multiverse adherents will disagree with that proposition, but we can probably all agree that those are unsatisfying answers, even if you understand all the details of it. But the universe will be the universe. It is what it is. Whatever that is. But for machine civilizations that arise in the universe, ostensibly there is nothing that they cannot learn or experience on a level probably exceeding us. Except what it can't do is experience what being a biological being is like. It may conclude that knowing everything about the universe is boring, except there would still be one other thing to experience, being biological. Granted, if it was so advanced as to be able to print out biological beings on demand, and consciousnesses uploaded into it might be able to take long vacations as a biological and then return to digital by uploading again. But it might also just as easily choose natural death. Born a machine that was the progeny of a human, and then died a human. The point here is that nothing lives forever, even a machine, because eventually this universe will run out of energy. At some point, the lights must be turned out, so far as we know. Granted, there may be energy sources in what we don't know, dark energy, zero-point energy, dark matter, and so on, but we don't know the rules there. But the real question is, would a machine wish to stay a machine? And would an uploaded human wish to remain a digital copy of a human? Ultimately, it represents the quest for immortality, but immortality is a step too far no matter what you do. But one area that we know absolutely nothing about is what a generalized superintelligent AI would do. What would its thoughts on existence be? We don't know yet, but it may be surprising regardless. These scenarios run the gamut, from any AI achieving that level of intelligence simply shutting itself off after deciding there isn't a point to existing, all the way to taking over and converting humans into uploaded or otherwise controlled automatons bending to its will. We simply don't know. But one thing is clear. If our technological trajectory holds, which it shows every sign right now that it will, we will face these problems with AI before we face it with human uploading. Other forms of transhumanism, such as customizing biology and implants, is a different story. That already is occurring and not inherently a bad thing at all, nor is the quest to extend the human lifespan, perhaps even to the tune of centuries. But I leave you with this. What happens if someday the human future plays out that the machines, our AI, want to become human, while we still strive to become machine? Fertile territory indeed for science fiction writers. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently eyeing the universe suspiciously but with admiration. As film director Werner Herzog, a past guest on Event Horizon, I might add, once said of the jungle, "I love it. I love it very much. But I love it against my better judgment. I feel that way about the universe. But at the end of the day, it's a real champ as far as universes go." And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.